from everything that you see in magazines and on television, it seems like America's consuming passion is to look beautiful on the outside. And if you don't look beautiful, get it fixed, cut it, snip it, tuck it, do away with it, or add it. What is going on? Well, it's just like the Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. We'll talk about it today. It does seem, beloved, doesn't it, that looking good, looking beautiful, being handsome is the thing. I mean, if you're not that way, then you're not acceptable. But you know what? That's the way man looks, but that's not the way that God looks. God looks on the inside. And that's what we're going to see. And you know, if you can get that in your mind and in your heart today, if you can grasp this precept for life, then it's going to set you free. Now, I'm not talking about being ugly. I mean, I like to look good. I work hard at it. My husband likes his barn painted. And I mean, he wants it painted all the time. He doesn't want me coming down at Precept Ministries down. We live on the property, and he doesn't want me coming down to the offices without my makeup. And I mean, if you could see me without my makeup, you would understand why he wants me to have it on. You know, one day I was in Israel at our office there, and it's an office and it's an apartment, and we were there, and I was coming down the hall, and I ran into one of our staff men, Bob Vereen, and I had my hair in rollers. I had no makeup, and I looked at him, and I didn't expect to see him there, and I said, "Boo." And he looked at me and he says, "You don't have to say boo because I scare you anyway." And so I do want to look good. And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to look good. But I think there's something terribly sad and degrading to us when we have to be absolutely beautiful, absolutely handsome, absolutely perfect. I think we become consumed with something that has nothing to do with the real meaning of us and what we are as a person. And I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now remember, we're studying David and Saul. Although God has rejected Saul from being king, Saul is still the king. And we want to find out how God shows us who this man is that's a man after his own heart, because he has not told us yet in 1 Samuel. He told us in 1 Samuel 13 that because Saul had sacrificed at Gilgal and did not wait for Samuel to do it, that God then was going to remove him from being king, and he was going to get a man after his own heart. Well, that hour, that moment has come. And with that hour and that moment comes this principle of man looking at the outward, but God looking at the heart. So let's see what the setting of it is. 1 Samuel chapter 16. "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons.'" Now, as I read that, I want to stop for 1 minute, and I want to stop and ask you a question. Is there somebody that you are grieving over? And you're grieving over them, and you're grieving over their behavior, and you're just beating yourself up. If only I had this, if only I had that, if only I hadn't. Well, see, in a sense, Samuel was grieving over something that God had finished. I mean, it was over. He had said, "Listen, the glory of Israel will not lie. He will not repent. He will not change his mind." So his mind is settled on Saul. And yet Samuel continued to grieve. And beloved, I just know that some of you have children that have absolutely broken your heart, and you can't get up out of bed, and you can't go forward, and you can't take care of your other kids, and you can't live life because you're grieving over that child, and you're grieving over the past, and you're thinking, if only I had done this, but what if I had recognized that that friend was trying to get him into drugs, or what if I had just kept her away from that boy? Whatever it is, beloved, if it is done, it is done, and you cannot change what is past. So what do you do? Well, you move forward with the future. And this is what he's saying to Samuel. He said, Samuel, how long are you going to grieve? Now listen, get up and get going. I have a man, I have someone that belongs to the household of Jesse. Jesse, who lives in Bethlehem. And we're going to anoint him as king over my sons. So it says, but Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. I can't go. You know how Saul feels. You know what Saul knows. You know that Saul knows that somebody else is going to be king. If I go, he's going to kill me. Now watch what God said. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. You know, you don't always have to say everything. You don't always have to explain the whole ball of wax. And sometimes we, as women especially, get in trouble because we go on and on and on trying to explain. He says, just tell them that you brought a heifer and you're going to make a sacrifice. You say that's deceptive. No, it's not deceptive. It's protective. It is protective. And see, some of you, because you have husbands that are abusive, or you may have a wife that's abusive, and you don't know how to give them just a certain amount of information in order to protect yourself, you don't have to tell them everything. You don't have to. You need to deal with the situation, by the way, if you're in it. But let's go on. He says in verse 3, you shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. Now, what I want you to do is stop and mark the word anoint. And what I did was I simply put three blue dots in the form of a triangle, because it's very important at this stage. And the word anoint simply means to put oil on someone. It means to consecrate someone. As a matter of fact, if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says, then Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people. And that word anoint is M-A-S-H-A-C-H. And this is where we get Mashiach HaMashiach. We get that from this word because the Christ, the one that is to come, is the anointed one, the one that has been anointed by God. So he's saying, you go to Jesse, I'm going to show you what you do when you get there, and you're going to anoint for me the one that I designate to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. Now remember, we want to keep track of where we are. So you want to double underline this. And it's very significant to double underline Bethlehem, because as you study on through the scriptures and you get to the prophecies of Micah, you see that the anointed one, the Messiah, is going to come from Bethlehem. And then you're going to find when you get to the New Testament and you read that in Romans and other places, that God is trying to show that Jesus is the one who was going to sit on the throne of David forever. And where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem. So Jesus, in a sense, was a Nazarene, and yet he was born in Bethlehem. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, do you come in peace? And the reason they want to know is because all of a sudden this prophet of God is showing up. And when he shows up, they want to know, have you got a message for us? Is it good? Is it bad? Have you come in peace? And he said, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they entered where they were going to make the sacrifice, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Now you want to mark anointed again, and you want to mark it every time you see it in the text. As a matter of fact, if you haven't marked it in the past, you want to mark it in the past as you go backwards in 1 Samuel or wherever you see it. And let me just say this, we have a downloadable study guide for you so that you can have the whole text of 1 Samuel, so that if you don't want to mark your Bible, you can mark the text. We have it so that we tell you what you should do and what you should mark and make suggestions for that and give you all sorts of insights that will help you to really know God's Word better, because our passion, our goal is to, our mission is to establish you in God's Word so that you might live in reverence for Him, so that you might be an exemplary follower of Jesus Christ, studying the Bible inductively and viewing the world biblically and serving the church faithfully in the power of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, beloved, you can't do it apart from being a student of the Word of God. And that's our whole goal. You are precious to us. You are precious to God. And that's why this program exists. And I want to thank you for supporting us. I want to thank you for making this program possible. I want to thank you for being a person who helps those that feed you the Word of God, as Galatians 6 says. Well, let's come back. He says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance. You're right. Outward appearances to man are important, and men do look at them, but many times they're deceived by the outward appearance. I mean, sometimes you can have an absolutely gorgeous blonde, but the minute she opens her mouth, she says, what are you looking at? And all of a sudden, her beauty is gone. And so he says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And what you want to do is you want to stop and draw a red heart over that word heart. You want to mark heart every time you see it in the Bible, because as I have told you before, the heart is the command center of the life. What happens in your heart determines what you do. It determines the way that you think. And so you've got to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart come the issues of life. And so he's saying, you know, Samuel, I got to tell you, Eliab's good looking, you know, and you're looking at his height, you're looking at his stature, and yes, he would make a marvelous king, but I'm looking at his heart. And you're going to see later that his heart ain't so good. You know, I mean, you're going to see that when David and Goliath meet up. You're going to see what Eliab's heart is like. And then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. So that's two down. All right. Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, the Lord hasn't chosen this one either. Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Now, three have already passed. He's having seven pass. It sounds like he's really got a quiver full of sons. And it says, but Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he's tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him here, for we will not sit down until he comes. So he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. He who? He, the man after God's own heart. Because although David was handsome, although he was ruddy in appearance, God looked right past that appearance into his heart. And he says, this is he. this is he. I want you to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And you know what? We'll look at it when we come back right after the break.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Good. You're back. You ready to go? 1 Samuel chapter 13, and I want you to see verse 14. In verse 14, God is speaking through Samuel to Saul, and he says, "But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you," and he's speaking to Saul, "have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So what you might want to do is next to chapter 16 and next to verse 12, where it says, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he," in pencil, right next to that verse, you might want to write 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. So then you're building a cross-reference system. And this will help you move around the Bible and share these truths and these principles with someone else. Now, I also want you to write down Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And I want us to go to Acts chapter 13. And in earlier lessons, in earlier programs, I've mentioned this passage, but we've never turned and looked at it. But this is what God has to say in the book of Acts after David is long gone and buried and that. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 22, this is what he says. "And after he had removed him," and he's talking about Saul. So let's go back to verse 21. It says, "Then they asked for a king." And this is during the days of Judges. This is the sons of Israel. "And God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.'" God just wasn't looking on the outward. He was looking at the heart, and he found him. And so this is the man that is going to do his will. And in verse 36, this is what it says in that same chapter, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep." This was a man after God's own heart, who was going to do his will and who was going to serve God's purpose. I want to ask you a question. Are you more consumed with the way that you look? Do you spend more time in front of the mirror and shopping and working out than you do in the mirror of God's Word, in the Word of God? Because if you're going to be a man or a woman that's going to be blessed of God, that's going to serve God, and there is no higher calling and there is no greater purpose, but you're going to serve God's purpose in this generation, then, beloved, you need to have a heart that is fully God's. Well, now watch what happens. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And it says in verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him," and you want to mark it the way we've been marking it, "in the midst of his brothers." And so his brothers, all of a sudden, are seeing Samuel do this to him. Now, they don't know what's going on, but they see that he has been selected for a very special purpose because Samuel has anointed him. "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward." Now, what you want to do is you want to mark the word Spirit. And what I use is I use one side of a triangle, because my triangle is my symbol for God. And then when I want to show just the Holy Spirit, I do one side, and then I put a cloud and connect those two parts of that corner of that triangle together. together, and I color it yellow. But the Spirit of God came upon David from, and this is a time phrase, so you want to put a clock there, from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord, and you want to mark it again, departed from Saul. Now, let me just stop and say this, that in our time, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, once the Spirit of God comes to indwell you, He will never leave you again. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of the redemption of God's purchased possession. In other words, until the day that God takes you home and He takes this mortal and puts on immortality, this corruptible and puts on incorruptibility, you are sealed. And so you and I can never have the Holy Spirit taken from us. Now, we can grieve the Holy Spirit and we can quench the Holy Spirit, but He will never leave us. And that's a wonderful promise. God says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, for He has said, I will never, never, never leave you, nor never forsake you. Now, you have the Spirit of God inside of you, if you're a true believer. And because you have the Spirit of God, then you can serve the purpose of God. But this is before the Holy Spirit came to indwell. So the Spirit would come and the Spirit would leave. So the Spirit departed from Saul, and an evil spirit, now catch this, from the Lord terrorized him. You say, I don't understand that. That blows me away. That can't be right. It's in the book. It's in the book, and you're going to see it again. So what do? You say, I don't understand it, but God, that's what you say. And you can't lie, and your word is truth, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to mark evil spirit. So I put a black cloud around it, and I colored it black because I want to see that it's an evil spirit from the Lord terrorizing him. Now, what you see in this, if you understand it correctly, God is sovereign. And so God is even over Satan and even over the evil spirits. In Daniel chapter 4, it says, God does according to His will in the army of heaven. And the army of heaven are the good spirits, and they're the evil spirits. And so God does His will there. And it says, and Saul's servants then said to him, behold, now an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you. Let them seek a man who's a skillful player on the harp, and it shall come about when the evil spirit from God is on you, and they recognize the sovereignty of God, he shall play the harp with his hand, and you will be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Now watch. Then one of the young men said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skilled musician, a mighty man of valor, one prudent in speech. Hey, you're learning more about David, aren't you? He's a warrior. He's a mighty man of valor. He's prudent in speech. He knows how to speak well, and he knows when to speak and when to keep his mouth shut, and a handsome man. And the Lord is with him. And I would underline that in a squiggly blue line. The Lord is with him. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who was with the flock. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a jug of wine and a young goat and sent them to Saul by David his son. Then David came in to Saul and attended him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. So it came about whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. Here was a man after God's own heart who was prudent in speech, who was a warrior, who was a valiant man, and who was humble enough to serve his king by playing the harp. And when the music came, the evil spirit departed. It shows you, doesn't it, the benefit and the healing of music. But it also shows you that here's a man after God's own heart that serves God in the way that God says. Oh, beloved, be that man, be that woman. Serve God's purpose in this generation. Well, beloved of God, and you are beloved of God, and you are beloved of me. What is God's precept for life for us today? What is the standard that we need to maintain? How do we take this truth and make it a lesson for life? I believe that His precept for life today, for you and for me, is to pay more attention to the heart than we do to the outer man. Look at the inner man and work on the inner man. And remember that you have an audience of one, and that audience of one is God. And it doesn't matter how beautiful you are externally if you're ugly on the inside. I mean, you can be absolute knockout, but if you're nasty, if you're curt, if you're angry, if you're full of bitterness, if you're full of envy and jealousy and strife and all that, what difference does all that beauty make? God doesn't want that. God wants you to be beautiful on the inside. Stop and think about David. David has been anointed. David knows that he is going to be the next king over Israel. David knows that. Is he haughty? No. What does he do? He goes to Saul, a man that has an evil spirit. And because the Spirit of the Lord is on David, David can discern exactly where Saul is. And yet he doesn't go in there haughty. He doesn't refuse. He doesn't say, I'm going to be the next king. You get over. You move over, boy. I'm taking over. He goes in, and there he becomes a servant to Saul. And such a servant and such a wise, discerning young man with prudence in his speech, so much so that Saul loves this young man. I mean, he looks at him and he says, I love this guy. I love this guy so much that I want to promote him and I want him to be my armor bearer. And what you find is you find David serving Saul. And you know, if you're a man or a woman after God's own heart, then you're a servant. You're a servant just like Jesus. Jesus did not come to be ministered unto, but he came to minister. He didn't come to be served. And he is the King of Kings. He is the one that is going to mount the throne and rule over all the nations of the earth. And yet he didn't come to be served. Rather, he came to serve. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Now that's a heart like God's heart. Lay down your life for others. Be the servant and watch God elevate you.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more precepts for life.
If you're a man or a woman after God's own heart, then you're a servant. You're a servant just like Jesus. Jesus did not come to be ministered unto, but he came to minister. He didn't come to be served, and he is the King of Kings.
Join us for our next program as we discover more precepts for life.